Welcome to today's episode on the major personality parts driving your life. So today we're going to be talking about the protective part, which can sometimes also be called the controller part, because often we control to keep safe, and the protective part is all about kind of keeping us safe, protecting us in some way. Now, the protective part is very often like a protective parent, whether that's male or female, but a protective parent, so it will do what it needs to protect other parts of you. Now, every part can have what we call kind of a limiting role in our life and also an empowering role in our life. So it's being more positive perhaps than maybe negative. And this part is no different. So you can have an overprotective protective part, and you can have an underprotective protective part. And I mean, I do find generally quite a lot of the different personality parts do try to protect us in their own way based on that particular part of them. But obviously, the role of this protective part, that's what it does, is to protect you. So if we're looking at a part being underprotective, so the protective part, when it's underprotective, often the reason it's doing this is because it's so busy protecting other people and parts of them. Normally their inner child, okay, or it's very protective of pets, or could even be children. Now, obviously, some of that is going to be innate within us as a parent, but quite often when a protective part is underprotective, it's because it's protecting someone or something outside of you. Okay, happens a lot when people have had childhood trauma, where they've had a family situation where there has been toxic relationships, narcissism, codependency. It will often happen there, where the child, you as a child, has basically tried to protect your parents' inner child. And often what will happen with parts is, if they are not told by that parent that that's the wrong thing to do, that actually as an adult they are there to protect themselves, that part of you, that protective part, will keep on doing it because nobody's told it that what it's doing is wrong, or it's not needed, or it shouldn't be doing it. Okay, so it's doing that. And then of course we grow up into adulthood and we're still doing that. We're still protecting other people, everything kind of outside of us, everything is external. I protect others, I love others, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so when that happens, of course, what that means is it's leaving another part of you, effectively most of the time, your inner child, vulnerable and unprotected. And obviously, with that come beliefs for that inner child of yours, and also with that, feelings as well. So the inner child can feel very vulnerable, is one of the things. Okay, it might feel very unsafe, is very, very common. It may feel really angry because it doesn't understand why it's not being protected by you, by the protective part of you. It starts to then have its own beliefs, which again may have come in from childhood, in terms of, I must be unlovable, or I'm not acceptable enough, or I am not worth protecting. So there's a lot that can come about from you not protecting other parts of you, but especially, as I say, your inner child. And I know when I had a conversation with my own inner child, so I have a background of codependency, and when I started having that conversation between my inner child and my protective part, let's just say the inner child didn't have very many pleasant words to share. And that was purely because my protective part of me had been protecting my own parents' inner child. Okay. What it can also mean is that when we're not protected, or parts don't step up to the role that they're meant to, what will happen is it will leave other parts feeling like they need to look after themselves. But the thing is, they might not know how to do that. Your inner child is very often, a very young age. Sometimes it's completely non-verbal, for instance, but it can be that, if that child within you that's feeling unsafe or scared is 5 years old, it doesn't know how to protect itself. It hasn't got a clue. So, of course, then it feels even angrier because it doesn't know how to do that. And then it's going to start to feel powerless and helpless. So, a lot can kind of come about just from that protective part of you not protecting other parts within you, but especially, as I say, our inner child. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we've also got where the protective part is overprotective, and that can actually be just as damaging. Now, obviously, both of them kind of destroy or certainly aggravate the relationship between other parts inside of you. Okay. When the protective part is being overprotective, what it will quite often do, just as an analogy, is it will basically kind of bury your child in a coffin under the ground and go, there we go, they're safe. Now, yes, okay, by them doing that, the inner child is safe. But that inner child is also still alive, heart still beating, still has thoughts, still has feelings, and is currently feeling quite a lot of the time that it is alone, that it's isolated, that it's been abandoned. Sometimes it might even feel like it's been betrayed. It's feeling very angry. It's feeling very disconnected. I see it a lot actually when people have depression. I see that a lot as a disconnection from them and their inner child. And I've experienced that a lot in terms of obviously the work that I've done. So when that protective part, as I say, is trying to keep a part safe, especially as I say, the inner child, which is a very vulnerable part of us, a very magical, special part of us. Okay, well, that is one of the things it can kind of do is bury your inner child under the ground in a coffin and go, she's safe, she's fine. And it doesn't realize the negative impact that is having both on that inner child and that person's life. And so, like I said in the overview, parts always have a positive intention, which is normally to keep us safe in some way or allow us to survive, to cope, to protect us. So its intention is positive. It's trying to keep a part of you safe, but the impact it's having, the outcome, is not so positive because actually it's leaving that inner child feeling really upset, vulnerable, scared, very alone. It can't connect with anybody. Nobody knows it's there. And so actually, it's about then, it's about that part understanding that impact and going, okay, you need to just step back a little bit. Like we don't need to go that far. Okay. The other thing that can happen as well, is that when this part is overprotective, it can react so strongly compared to the intensity of the situation. So it might be that somebody, say, had an argument with a friend that they've known for 20 years, and the overprotective part decides from that argument, and yes, it might warrant it depending on what someone's done, of course. But say it was just something very mild that had happened that perhaps would just be a case of somebody communicating how they felt, that they felt hurt, that something had been said, and this is what they would want in the future, that kind of thing. The overprotective part may well turn around and actually go, right, that's it, we're never speaking to that person ever again. And they'll block them on social media, they'll delete or block their phone number. And so it'll be a very intense, strong reaction compared to what perhaps should be, okay, depending on the context of the situation. So when parts feel protected, they actually grow up, they actually mature. And very often when I'm working with people with parts therapy, I see this or I hear this or I feel this. And it's very interesting to see and very interesting to know that actually when we are protecting ourselves, that part of us that needed that protection does kind of heal and grow up, especially if it's not been protected previously. Okay. And again, that can happen, for instance, in dysfunctional families where somebody hasn't been protected from somebody in the household. And that protective part has not done that. And so then what can happen is the part that needed protection, very often again, our inner child, the child that went through that experience, feels betrayed by parts of you. By the protective part, because it wasn't protected. But it can also feel betrayed by, say one of the parents or both the parents, depending on obviously what the situation is, whoever didn't protect them, it will be angry and feel betrayed at their protective part that didn't protect them as a child. So when people are, when the protective part is doing what it should be and it's in balance, often those parts of us that need that protection will feel safer, as I say, and will often feel more healed, more grown up. They will trust us more because we're there for them. Okay, so my inner child, for instance, has become much more trusting of my protective part because I am there for her now. Okay. Now, the protective part of us often, when you sort of access that part, as you can imagine, it often feels quite strong, it feels quite bold. Often people's stances when they're in that part will have a very good posture. The posture will be very upright, very sort of like a sort of a superhero pose, but not quite as much. And protection can be physical, it can be emotional. Okay, it can be verbal. So we're verbal would be things like assertiveness, for instance. Okay, and when verbal can be things like where we instill boundaries, where we actually put boundaries in place. And in order to put boundaries in place, we also have to know what our values are. So that's something I'll come on to nearer the end of this video. It can also be spiritual protection. So quite often I will see when I'm working with somebody when they might need protection of some sort. There's a certain stance or posture that people will do, which often will show me that they need protection, or it'll be something that they say. So quite often somebody might say, "I don't feel safe." I feel f they won't necessarily say fearful. It's normally safe. It's not safe to. I am not safe. So when I get something like that, then I would instantly be thinking about protection as one of the things that might come in. Okay. So some tips for you to take away. So I did say that this video wouldn't be as long as the overview, and I knew they wouldn't be with the particular parts themselves. So some tips for you. When you've had childhood trauma, as I say, very often the protective part of you has learned to protect other people's inner child. So one way that is a really good giveaway is I will very often say to people, "Are you more protective of other people than you are of yourself? Or are you more protective of, say, your pets or your children than you are of yourself?" If you say yes, then it's very likely that you are in that scenario, basically, where there's a part of you feeling unprotected because you are protecting others more than you are yourself. And I see this quite a lot with pets. Okay, so when somebody is very protective of other people but not so of their self, because there's a part of them that then feels vulnerable and unsafe and unprotected, quite often that's where I will see pets being overprotective. So if you have an overprotective pet, please consider the question I've just said. Are you more protective of other people than you are of yourself? Okay. If you say such phrases as "I'm protective of others," or things like if you say, "Oh, my partner's very protective of me," that can again sometimes indicate that actually you there's a part of you that's looking for protection. Your partner's protective part knows that it is then protecting you, okay? But what it's also then meaning is they're kind of doing the same thing, is there's going to be a part of them perhaps that doesn't feel as protected and safe because actually their protective part is protecting your inner child. Now, what might also then happen is your protective part feels their vulnerable inner child, their vulnerable part of them that's feeling unprotected, and that's why you're more protective of them too. So it can kind of mirror, if that makes sense, with relationships and also, as I say, obviously with pets as well, possibly even children. I don't have children, so I can't say that for definite, but I would think it is very similar because as a child, as I say, that's what I used to do is protect my parents' inner child. Spiritual protection is the other one, as I say. So if you are very like a highly sensitive person, you're very empathic, you're very caring, you're very giving, you're very attuned to the environments, attuned to people's emotions and so on. It's very, I mean, we're all spiritual, but it's very likely that you may need to protect your energy, okay, with spiritual protection. Now, again, this can vary, and there's lots of different ways to do this. But one way to do this is ask for a protective bubble around you. You can ask the angels, you can ask Archangel Michael for a protective bubble to be placed around you. He also has a cloak of protection that he can put around you. You could ask for a kind of a circle of fire to be placed around you. You can ask for a suit of armor to be placed around you to protect you from others' energy. We have a suit of armor that is made of light that you can even ask for. There's lots of different ways that you can actually protect yourself spiritually. Okay, so that's just something to consider as well that might come in. Now, the other thing that can happen is that modeling, if you think about as children, we model what we see from our parents or from our caregivers, whoever's looking after us. So, however, they are protecting themselves or other people will be modeled to us. And so, again, what can happen is a protective part may actually be trying to protect you by being, if you like, aggressive, because that's all it knows, that's all it's seen, that's all it's experienced is you protect people by being aggressive, whether that's physically or verbally. Now, obviously, we know that that is not healthy, okay? But that may well be what it has learned. So there might be other things that need to come in, like people learning assertiveness, where you've got passive, you've got assertive, you've got passive aggressive, and you've got aggressive on that scale. So it may be that they need to learn how to be assertive and how to communicate that as well. The other thing I mentioned earlier as well was about asserting boundaries. That's a way of protecting ourselves. Now, I've certainly found in the work that I've done with clients and with myself that actually, in order to determine your boundaries, you also need to know what your values are. Now, what your values are what is important to you. And these tend to be like qualities. So it could be things like respect, trust, honesty, loyalty. Okay. And actually, if you are not valuing these within yourself, if you are not aligning to your own values, what you will also find is you will attract situations that reflect that back to you. So if I've had various situations come up where I'm having people disrespecting me, I often have to sit and reflect and go, okay, where in my own life am I disrespecting myself? Now, that could be something as simple as I'm going to bed too late and I'm getting up and I'm really tired. Or it could be I'm ingesting the wrong foods. It could be somebody that has more of an addiction as such, so they're ingesting drugs or they're, gambling all their money away, or they're allowing somebody to treat them in a certain way that's very disrespectful. So it's a case of, looking at it from that angle as well, okay? If you're starting to attract various situations that all have that similar pattern, look at where you are, as I say, disrespecting yourself. Another one could be, for instance, if you are finding situations coming into you where there's a lot of betrayal. Again, another question to ask yourself is, where am I betraying myself in my own life? Now, but betrayal can be such things as I said earlier, really, protecting other people but not protecting yourself. That's a betrayal. But it could also be that you are betraying yourself by, in a way, people pleasing. So you're saying yes to everybody and no to yourself. Again, that's a betrayal. It might be that you are not being authentic because you feel that you are going to be rejected if you are your true self. So you kind of bring out a fake sense of self and you show that to the world. And therefore what will happen is there's parts of you that feel betrayed, that you're not being yourself. So there's just some tips for you to take away. So as I said, I knew this video wasn't going to be as long as the others, but I hope that's given you some insights to think about. Feel free to go back and listen to this again, right, to get the most out of it if you so wish. The next part that we're going to be looking at is the loving part. So that's going to be coming a week on Sunday. Okay, and just think about what takeaways you've had from today's episode. And hop onto social media, pop a comment on there, or wherever you've connected with this episode. So pop on, comment, and let me know. As I say, the loving part is going to be a week away. Until then, take care and bye for now.